This is the Coronation Podcast.
Good day, esteemed viewers. Welcome to today's edition of Coronation Podcast. Today, we'll be discussing financial inclusion. And to discuss this topic with us is no one else but a very well-learned fellow in this on this topic. Is a fellow of the Institute of Chartered Accountants of Nigeria, is a fellow of the Chartered Institute of Bankers of Nigeria, is an alumni of several schools, namely University of Lagos, Obafemi Awolowo University, Babcock University. He's also the Chief Financial Officer of Coronation Merchant Bank. Join me in welcoming Shinde Arini.
Thank you for the show.
How are you today?
Yeah, I'm very well. Thank you. What about you?
I'm doing good. I like your jacket. Maybe after this show, you
it's all yours.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I have an additional jacket to my wardrobe. Thank you for that. Let's go into the topic right away. What is financial inclusion and why is it quite important?
Yeah, I mean, just to break it down in a very simplified layman word. Finance include, so you have a net, want to, you know, when you go to fish, I don't know if you've done that.
No.
When we're growing
up,
we did all of that. So you go with your net to capture some good fishes in the ocean, right? So financial inclusion, you have your net, you want to grab people into the net of your finance. So financial inclusion is bringing as many people as possible
right
into the finance world. And I see that has been narrowed down by a lot of people to just say open account. It's right. Far more than that. But I think we'll break it down as we progress.
Okay. Thank you very much. That leads me to my second question. Why is it important?
Yeah, money is life, right?
Right.
Money is life. It's a wire. I mean, it's our life. So it's very important that we are included in the financial space. And there's no way we'll discuss financial inclusion without talking about financial literacy.
Right.
Right? Financial literacy is actually you being literate as far as money is concerned, knowing about money, how to make money. So it goes beyond just account opening. It goes into investment, maintaining accounts, insurance, all of those things. So that's financial literacy. So in the web of financial literacy, how many people are captured? That's financial inclusion. So it is important because that is the only way you can break poverty.
Right. So, part of the things we're looking at is taking it to classrooms from the grassroots.
Okay.
What's your take on that?
Yeah, fair to CBN. CBN has done a lot on financial inclusion.
Right.
They've issued different policies, different directives for banks to participate in financial inclusion because it is our own world, right? And they've also done a lot through the microfinance, through the PSB, through fintech, through a lot of that, right? That is CBN trying its best. The question I should be asking myself or asking you, the National Orientation Agency, when we're growing up,
right?
I mean, I'm sure MAMSA,
War Against Indiscipline and all these
were the efforts of the
government,
the National Orientation Agency. So the question is, what is the National Orientation Agency doing in terms of promoting that? What is the academic section doing? It's not enough. If I talk about CBN efforts, the World Literacy Day, bands go to rural area to educate people, is it what you want to do just once in a year? Why don't we bring into our curriculum, right?
Oh, okay.
And start to teach them people how to make money. When you tell them how to make money, You are financially literate and all of that. It's not all of those ones you do in the classroom where you say, okay, MPV, IRR. No, teach me money.
From entrepreneurial skills.
Yeah, from the scratch. So if you catch them young, you teach them from the beginning, right? You will see that when they grow up, your effort as a bank to go to the rural area and all of that will be so reduced. Right. So we need to start addressing it from the grassroots.
Okay. Thank you very much. There's been this allegation of those that are supposed to help in the financial inclusion space, the likes of the fintechs and microfinance banks, they're actually doing what the deposit money banks are currently doing. They are in that space. They're supposed to go into the interland, into the rural areas to bring more people into the space. What's your take on that? But they are banking, they already banked, and they're not going that deep down into the unbanked, thereby for us to fully harness and support the CBN initiative.
Well, I beg to differ a little.
Okay. And that's because, why we are here.
Yeah, I think fair is fair, right? I think the Nigerian space has done quite a lot, right? With all of those CBN policies that I mentioned and all of that. Think about what COVID-19 brought into the country. It was during COVID-19 that all of us, in fact, the market woman started to know the importance of cash. Sooner than we left COVID-19, we had the cashless policy.
Right.
This has changed the outlook. In fact, that to me alone is education. People now started to know the importance of financial literacy, financial inclusion. And CBN, in addressing this, brought the informal sector. That's why you have the POS stand, you have all of these people, you go, you cash money, you do all of that. It has actually improved. If you don't mind, if I just need to give you a little statistics,
right?
Now, statistically, 64% of Nigerian adults, right, are already included in the financial inclusion. 36%, that's about 38 million people, are out of that. CBN has said the target for CBN in 2025 is to capture 95%. We may not be there yet. Now, FinTech, PSP, they are actually doing a lot. I've given you an example of POS. You see, when you want to bring people to access money, comfort is very important. Yeah, I'm saying that if there is convenience, people don't mind the cost.
Exactly.
So I used to take 10,000, they charge me 200, which is about, 0.2% if my calculation is okay.
Yeah.
It means that people would rather pay that 200 naira than to go queue up in the banking hall. So it's convenience. So you cannot talk about financial inclusion without talking about convenience. Remember, the reason we had all of these challenges before was lack of trust in the system, where people believe that you queue up, all of this.
Right.
Because
you remember that advert of then, My tally number.
Yeah.
I've forgotten the bank. That the man, he went to the bank with a mat and was told to queue. I'm just speaking to the convenience you mentioned. He thought he was going to queue in the bank, which was what was the norm then. And was asking for tally number. Give me my tally number. But they said, no, we give quick service. 3 minutes. It was short. So I'm trying to speak to the convenience you mentioned earlier, that if you give people convenience, they are willing to pay for convenience.
Correct. So I'm saying that there are a lot of things. A lot of people, they talk about infrastructural decay. This is what we've learned even in our primary school. I'm sure if you go to sit for WAEC now, they say problem of agriculture in Nigeria, say transportation, infrastructure, all of those things. But we should appreciate every milestone, every little effort. We've gone beyond some of these things, right? I agree quite well that we still have a lot of things to do in the rural area. But my question is, in the rural area, you teach with English language, right? So go in Lagos is go in any village.
Yeah.
Form in Lagos is form in any village. So why can't we bring finance, right, into the curriculum and start to teach it? So it becomes, education is a leveler, right? It becomes, deep into your DNA. So banks will do their best. FinTech will do their best. Everybody will do their best. But we need to bring the National Orientation Agency into this. We need
agencies that into dissemination of
that information. That is the work of National Orientation Agency. Remember, during the era of Y, you open your NTA, if you cross, they will arrest you, all of those things. So we need to start to talk about it, right? We need to start to talk about all of this. So back to your financial inclusion, right? I'm saying that the academics, the schools, nursery and primary schools need to include savings, need to include all of this as part of the curriculum in the school.
What you're speaking to is, catch them young. And, I remember an incident or with a friend. We used to work together and we used to service one of our branch ATM. But every time we went there, she would never cross the lawn because from our secondary school or maybe our primary school, she has been taught not to cross the lawn. So anytime she sees a lawn, she goes around the lawn and never crosses the lawn. So because that's been ingrained in her head.
Sure.
So speaking to what you've just said, if people have been brought up that way, with the mindset of inclusion, understanding what financial inclusion means, savings, it's part of the curriculum. They are taught about it from their very elementary school. It's going to stick, and that's what they go and. That's at the micro level, and as we go at the macro level, everybody imbibes that, and it helps the economy or it helps the country to achieve that desire. Yeah. So, what I hear you say is we need to go granular. I mean, back to the roots, from even if it's possible from nursery, primary, and all of the way. But what I would like to ask: are there real life successes out of financial inclusion?
Yeah. So. I will answer that broader question, but I'll bring it home and narrow it down. When the likes of Money Point came, right? All of this, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Nobody gave them a chance, right?
Yeah.
There was a trust issue. But today, if you go to the market and you say you want to buy something, give me your account. Most of them will give you all of those Money Point.
Okay.
All of those things, they'll give you. Right? So the question is, how did we get here? How did it metamorphose into where we are now? And I say, trust is number one. The woman wants to see the alert and get the confirmation that the money has entered immediately. That's convenience. And convenience, that's also trust, right? And I stay bold to say that all of this came from the era of the COVID. Cashless policy.
Business and
right?
Lives.
So that's a success rate. For you to measure the success rate, you need to go check what is PSP.
The numbers they are turning out.
Yes, go and look at their volume. So that's real life experience. And I tell you, Nigeria is one of the most successful country when it comes to all of this tech transfer, money transfer. You right. can check.
Yeah,
we
I
are
know.
Ahead of the United States of America.
Of course, I know.
This.
I mean,
you can check.
US just started.
You can fact
Zelle
check.
And all of that.
NIMS, all of this. You can fact
right,
check.
Right.
So that's that. That's that. Michael. Now, coming home to share experience, right? Each time I meet young people, I excite them with very interesting topic and I demonstrate it to them. And the topic is, I want to teach you how to make money. I want to teach you how to make money. I teach them, and it's an exciting topic. Even Mansuru, you yourself,
no.
If I come to you and I say, I want to teach you how to make money, even though you are a multimillionaire, I know, you will still want to know because it's not enough.
No, so that multimillionaire fact, I don't know.
Okay, we'll talk about that later. So, and you see, it's a topic everybody wants to hear. That is money making. And I am telling you, Mansuru, since I've been doing this now for like 12 years, since 2013, there are success stories. And I see that there's a difference between being a graduate, which is academic literate, than being financial literate.
Yeah, agreed.
So there are if I pick Coronation, for example, Coronation as an ecosystem, you have the merchant bank, you have the insurance, the
asset management.
You have the asset management, you have trustee, you have fiducia, you have capital. All of
there's
that,
whole lot of
that is a bookie. So it's a one-stop financial institution's shop, right? So if you are not doing banking, you are doing asset management. If I ask, how many of us even understand what asset management is?
Right.
How many of us even understand the concept of insurance? Let me tell you, I have an uncle. He went into college. The first thing, he delivered three lorries for exporting. And when I say export, I mean local exports. I mean, from Lagos State things to Sokoto, Bring and all of those things. I told him, sir, insure this lorry before they come in. He said, no. The money they will make, right? The first return, I'll use it to insure my lorry.
And they went on that first
they went.
I never came back.
Got to somewhere around Ogbomosho, had an accident, and that was the end. Now, that accident took some lives.
Oh.
He had to sell the remaining lorries, you know,
to sort out himself.
Mm-hmm. So, because of a very infinitesimal premium you will pay, you lost all your investment. That's financial literacy, right? Now, you now see, and this person I'm talking about is a graduate of many years. So he's an academic graduate, not a financial literate. You get it? So when we talk about all of this, we are saying that in the academic space, you need to start to teach these children right from scratch. Now, for me, for example, I'm very vast when it comes to numerics.
Obviously.
I mean, and people would think
that times when you call out those numbers off your head and be like, what made you I went to school now? Yeah. How are you doing it?
So people would think that I learned that in the school, or probably I learned it as a finance person. No. I learned this from my mother. Yes. Because she had a grocery shop, and I was always in that shop. Come back from primary school and all of that. And between when I finished my secondary school and when I got admission, I was managing
the shop.
And it's a very big shop. So you have a lot of people that come, they say this, on top of your head, you are already calculating. So you buy a lot of this. I'm looking at it. I'm summing it up. I'm giving you a change. And interestingly, I grew up with it naturally.
Yeah.
Not learning it because it became part of my DNA.
Exactly.
Today, I speak, I'm a Yoruba guy, right? You know, I speak Igbo very conveniently. And I speak Hausa. And a lot of time when I speak, people ask, where do you grow up? Where do you learn of this? Well, I did not learn them.
Wow.
I grew up with them because the environment I grew up, the same way I was learning Igbo, the Igbo guy was speaking. So I go to the, so I have families who are Igbos, right?
Yeah.
They speak in their house. Their official language is Yoruba.
Oh, really?
So you grow with it. So whatever you grow with,
it's part of you.
So I've not lived in the East, though I've traveled to the East, but I've not lived there. I've not lived in the North, but I speak Igbo conveniently. And I still make proverbs in Igbo language and I translate it. Abasho so agomai. You finish running, then you count the mile you have covered. All of those things. So we are saying that we need to register those financial literacy, financial inclusion in the DNA of our children.
From
not when I go to MBA class or
not start teaching.
You teach me MPV. How does this translate to my own life?
I mean, what does
how do
it
I
mean
make money?
In practical sense?
You will see somebody, and I'm sure, I mean, somebody will see, as you see me, I have 50 million in my account. I have 200 million in my account. People brag with that, right? But what have you made out of it? So that's what we are saying.
Okay. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, we can't exhaust this topic today. But at Coronation Merchant Bank, I mean, you are the chief financial officer. What is the bank doing? How is the bank trying to include people financially? What's the policy of the, what's the strategy of the bank in this regard?
Okay, so I need to quickly tell you. So in Coronation, we are a merchant bank. There's a difference between a merchant and a commercial bank. We are not a consumer bank, right?
Can you just quickly tell us, the difference?
Yeah, so merchant bank, like the name implies, so you have mortgage bank, mortgage. You know what mortgage is?
Yes.
You have development bank, you know what? Merchant bank, so it's for the merchant. So
the wholesale, basically wholesale
it's corporate
banking.
And investment banking, right? For corporate. However, we also have for private people who are high net worth individual, UHNI. So in that space, we have private banking, we have investment banking. Why a merchant bank is different from a commercial bank is that they make you to get good returns on your investments.
Right.
And that's why it is not for everybody, right? If you bring your money, you get good returns. Because again, remember, the kind of clients you have in a merchant bank are already people that are high net worth, they are well-traveled, they are financially literate. So they can, That does not mean that you are financially excluded.
Okay.
Remember I spoke about the Coronation ecosystem. Whatever your financial need is, there is always a Coronation entity to attend to that need. If it's insurance, you have Coronation Insurance. If it's small savings, you have the asset management.
Yeah.
Now, what will asset management do? You have 5,000, you have 10,000, you have 10,000.
The mutual funds.
So it's a mutual fund. They pull it, small. They put it together on a daily basis. You get return on that your 5,000 naira. On a daily basis, you get return on that your 10,000 naira. You can open your phone, check. You have the app. You check. You see the money, how it is growing on a daily basis. If you need emergency cash, you can, on the comfort of your phone, just redeem any part of your investment and you get that your money immediately. So if it is the Coalition Capital, the CCM, they are there. All of that. If it's the fintech space, you have the fiduciary, you have all of this. So for whatever your financial need is, right, there's a coronation entity.
That.
But you cannot maximize that until you are financial literate. You get it? Now, Monsuru has 100 million. And everybody is respecting Monsuru because he shows...
Monsuru does not have 100
million. It's 100 million. So, yeah. So now, I have only 20,000 naira in my account. People think Monsuru is richer than me. Money is not water. You get it? Money is what you respect. I mean, and there's always divergence, right? Dangote, if you listen to Dangote's interview and you listen to Otedola, two billionaires, different concept about life. Dangote said it's not wasteful, he invests his money and all of that. Otedola said, I enjoy my money. Whichever one you spend is your own. Anyone you don't spend is not your own. Dangote is conservative. Otedola is a monetarist. I'm a monetarist, by the way. So we monetarists, we are not conservative. We spend it, but for everything we spend, we make sure, if I spend 500K, which I'm not shy from spending, know that that same day, I would have made 1 million. 500. I just spend from what I have. And that's why when they interviewed Abiola, the way you are spending, your money will finish. You know what he said? He said his money is like a drum. It's full. So it's now pouring down. What he's spending is the one he's picking from the floor. He's not even touching the drum. So if you go to party, people donate, say, I donate 3 billion. It goes to UI, donated 3 billion and all of that. That 3 billion is nothing to him because that day before the night runs, he has made 10, 15, 20 billion. It's you that will be screaming, 3 billion! For you to say that you are financially literate, what you should have, it's only emergency fund that should be in your account.
Not funds sitting idle.
So when you hear people say, when they sleep, they make money.
That's what they mean.
When they are conversing. So your money is working for you. So at what point do you get to that comfort, no matter how small, to say that as I'm talking to you, I'm accruing 10 naira, 5 naira, 20, as I'm speaking to you, my money is working for me. Not until you get there. Right? I cannot say you are financially literate.
Right.
And for you to be financially literate, you must be part of that net of financial inclusion.
So, I think you have done so well on this topic. You have really dwelt so extensively on this topic of financial inclusion. But as a takeaway to our audience, what would you say? What would you think it should be a takeaway for our audience from this conversation?
Well, my takeaway,
Very
simple. Money is not water. If you say money is water, you are a financial illiterate. Money is to be made. It's very important. So the takeaway is that how do you make your money to work for you? Reach out to a financial expert today. They will teach you. You can speak to any of our coronation entity. You can walk in. Again, the good thing is that we have one of the best reception in terms of our art gallery.
Yeah.
Even if it's for sightseeing,
you want to
speak to somebody.
Exactly.
You will get attention. I hope that after this conversation, people will reach out to say, how do I make money? Teach me
like
how to fish.
Like
don't give me fish.
No, you are not taking that part. How to make money.
Well, yes, for this purpose, I accept. For this purpose, I boldly accept
But you will teach me too.
You are already in my net.
Okay.
So you're already
financially included.
You are included. How much do you take advantage of that inclusion?
It's now
what we should be asking.
All right.
Again, there is no problem in you taking loan.
True.
What are you doing with the loan?
Exactly.
There is no rich man in this world that is not indebted.
Rich.
The question is, what is your net worth? Your net worth is difference between your asset and your liability. If your liability is more than your asset, you are broke.
Exactly.
If your asset, let me give you one very interesting one. One day, I was driving. I was a very young banker then, in my 20s.
You are still young now.
Then a policeman stopped me. I was about coming down. And instead, say, all of you, when you go and get bank loan to buy car, you will not be harassing us on the road. Blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, I've not insulted you. And he went on and on. And I said to him, that for me to go to a bank to give me loan of 3 million, then the bank must believe that my net worth is far more than 30 million.
Exactly, and your cash flow
officer,
supports it.
Tomorrow morning, approach your bank and say you want to get that same loan you are accusing.
Let's see
if you get it. So there's no problem getting loan. In fact, getting loan, in America, they run a credit system,
right?
Almost everybody is indebted, right?
Right.
But that does that make them poor?
No.
It doesn't.
No.
If you don't get loan, Monsuru, and I have plenty loan, that does not mean that you are richer than me.
Absolutely.
What's your net worth? That's what we should be discussing.
Absolutely. Yes. I agree with you.
All right. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, I know that you have gotten so much from this exchange. Irene, thank you so much for coming on the call. You've done justice to this topic. And I hope next time we will call you, you honor our invitation.
If it is about making money, I will.
All right. So I'm holding into your word now. So thank you very much, my esteemed audience. I hope you have learned something from Irene about making money. If you want more information about Coronation Merchant Bank or about making money, I mean, Irene is always there. Scan the QR code below. Or send us an email with the email on your screen. And someone will definitely attend to you. Thank you for coming on the call. Till next time. Bye.